He began to walk through the hall. The carved eyes of those statues that had eyes seemed to follow his every step. In his dream, he realized that each statue had a name burning on the floor in front of it. The man with the white hair, with a necklace of teeth about his neck holding a drum, was Lukosius. The broad-hipped woman with monsters dropping from the vast gash between her legs was Huber. The ram-headed man holding the golden ball was Herschef. A precise voice, fussy and exact, was speaking to him in his dream, but he could see no one.
"These are gods who have been forgotten, and now might as well be dead. They can be found only in dry histories. They are gone, all gone. But their names and their images remain with us."
Shadow turned a corner and knew himself to be in another room, even vaster than the first. It went on further than the eye could see. Close to him was the skull of a mammoth, polished and brown, and a hairy ochre cloak, being worn by a small woman with a deformed left hand. Next to that were three women, each carved from the same granite boulder, joined at the waist. Their faces had an unfinished, hasty look to them, although their breasts and genitalia had been carved with elaborate care. And there was a flightless bird which Shadow did not recognize, twice his height, with a beak made for rending, like a vulture's, but with human arms, and on and on. The voice spoke once more, as if it were addressing a class, saying,
"These are the gods who have passed out of memory. Even their names are lost. The people who worshipped them are as forgotten as their gods. Their totems are long since broken and cast down. Their last priests died without passing on their secrets. Gods die, and when they truly die, they are unmourned and unremembered. Ideas are more difficult to kill than people, but they can be killed in the end."
There was a whispering noise that began then to run through the hall, a low susurrus that caused Shadow, in his dream, to experience a chilling and inexplicable fear. An all-engulfing panic took him, there in the halls of the gods whose very existence had been forgotten, octopus-faced gods and gods who were only mummified hands or falling rocks or forest fires. Shadow woke with his heart jackhammering in his chest, his forehead clammy, entirely awake. The red numerals on the bedside clock told him the time was 1:03 a.m., The light of the Motel America sign outside shone through his bedroom window. Disoriented, Shadow got up and walked into the tiny motel bathroom. He pissed without turning on the lights and returned to the bedroom. The dream was still fresh and vivid in his mind's eye, but he could not explain to himself why it had scared him so. The light that came into the room from outside was not bright, but Shadow's eyes had become used to the dark. There was a woman sitting on the side of his bed. He knew her. He would have known her in a crowd of 1,000 or of 100,000. She sat straight on the side of his bed. She was still wearing the navy blue suit they had buried her in. Her voice was a whisper, but a familiar one.
"I guess you're going to ask what I'm doing here,"
said Laura. Shadow said nothing. He sat down on the room's only chair and finally asked,
"Babe, is that you?"
"Yes. I'm cold, puppy."
"You're dead, babe."
"Yes. Yes, I am."
She patted the bed next to her.
"Come and sit by me."
"No. I think I'll stay right here for now. We have some unresolved issues to address."
"Like me being dead?"
"Possibly. But I was thinking more of how you died. You and Robbie."
"Oh, that."
Shadow could smell, or perhaps he thought he simply imagined that he smelled, an odor of rot, of flowers and preservatives. His wife, his ex-wife, no, he corrected himself, his late wife, sat on the bed and stared at him, unblinking.
"Puppy, do you think you could possibly get me a cigarette?"
"I thought you gave them up."
"I did, but I'm no longer concerned about the health risks. And I think it would calm my nerves. There's a machine in the lobby."
Shadow pulled on his jeans and a t-shirt and went barefoot into the lobby. The night clerk was a middle-aged man reading a book by John Grisham. Shadow bought a pack of Virginia Slims from the machine. He asked the night clerk for a book of matches. The man stared at him, asked for his room number. Shadow told him. The man nodded.
You're in a non-smoking room. You make sure you open the window now.
He passed Shadow a book of matches and a plastic ashtray with the Motel America logo on it.
Got it.
He went back into his bedroom. He did not turn the light on. His wife was still on the bed. She had stretched out now on top of his rumpled covers. Shadow opened the window and then passed her the cigarettes and the matches. Her fingers were cold. She lit a match and he saw that her nails, usually pristine, were battered and chewed and there was mud under them. Laura lit the cigarette, inhaled, blew out the match. She took another puff.
I can't taste it. I don't think this is doing anything.
I'm sorry.
Me too.
When she inhaled, the cigarette tip glowed, and he was able to see her face.
So, they let you out?
Yes.
How was prison?
Could have been worse.
Yes.
The tip of the cigarette glowed orange.
I'm still grateful. I should never have got you mixed up in it.
Well, I agreed to do it. I could have said no.
He wondered why he wasn't scared of her. Why a dream of a museum could leave him terrified while he seemed to be coping with a walking corpse without fear.
Yes, you could have, you big galoot.
Smoke wreathed her face. She was very beautiful in the dim light.
You want to know about me and Robbie?
Yes.
It was Laura, he realized. Living or dead, he couldn't fear her. She stubbed out the cigarette in the ashtray.
You were in prison, and I needed someone to talk to. I needed a shoulder to cry on. You weren't there. I was upset.
I'm sorry.
Shadow realized something was different about her voice, and he tried to figure out what it was.
I know. So we'd meet for coffee. Talk about what we'd do when you got out of prison. How good it would be to see you again. He really liked you, you know. He was looking forward to giving you back your old job.
Yes.
And then Audrey went to visit her sister for a week. This was, oh, a year, 13 months after you'd gone away.
Her voice lacked expression. Each word was flat and dull, like pebbles dropped one by one into a deep well.
Robbie came over. We got drunk together. We did it on the floor of the bedroom. It was good. It was really good.
I didn't need to hear that.
No, I'm sorry. It's harder to pick and choose when you're dead. It's like a photograph, you know? It doesn't matter as much.
It matters to me.
Laura lit a second cigarette. Her movements were fluid and competent, not stiff. Shadow wondered for a moment if she was dead at all. Perhaps this was some kind of elaborate trick.
Yes, I see that. Well, we carried on our affair, although we didn't call it that. We did not call it anything. For most of the last 2 years.
Were you going to leave me for him?
Why would I do that? You're my big bear. You're my puppy. You did what you did for me. I waited 3 years for you to come back to me. I love you.
He stopped himself from saying,
I love you too.
He wasn't going to say that. Not anymore.
So what happened the other night?
The night I was killed?
Yes.
Well, Robbie and I went out to talk about your welcome back surprise party. It would have been so good. And I told him that we were done, finished. That now that you were back, that was the way it had to be.
Thank you, babe.
You're welcome, darling.
The ghost of a smile crossed her face.
We got maudlin. It was sweet. We got stupid. I got very drunk. He didn't. He had to drive. We were driving home, and I announced I was going to give him a goodbye blowjob. One last time, with feeling. And I unzipped his pants, and I did.
Big mistake.
Tell me about it. I knocked the gear shift with my shoulder, and then Robbie was trying to push me out of the way to put the car back in gear, and we were swerving, and there was a loud crunch, and I remember the world started to roll and to spin, and I thought, I'm going to die. It was very dispassionate. I remember that. I wasn't scared. And then I don't remember anything more.
There was a smell like burning plastic. It was the cigarette, Shadow realized. It had burned down to the filter. Laura did not seem to have noticed.
What are you doing here, Laura?
Can't a wife come and see her husband?